91, Grace. Episode 91.
Episode 91. Who's under that hat?
Wait a minute. Let's look at the hat. Where did somebody get such a nice BOCO trucker cap?
That is a BOCO trucker. That is a hot looking hat. It is a good looking hat.
But it looks better on me. Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at the hat now. Who do we have here? We're not talking about that yet because the show hasn't started. Our guests have to wait for us to do our intro and then they talk. They are not allowed to do anything. They are dead to us before we tell them that they may talk.
Sure. That sounds
good. Grace, I got a fun fact for you.
Okay, let's hear it.
Did you know that Arizona can produce the highest and lowest temperatures in the country on the same day?
I did not know that. Now I do.
You take that one, you lift off your little running mullet hat, and you put it right in the old brain cranium there, okay?
Put it in the brain cranium. Got it.
Yeah.
Registered.
All right. You want to, anything else you want to go over before we get this party started, or are we good?
No, this is just going to be such a good episode. I'm so excited about it.
Okay. That was weird, but okay. Let's go with it, okay? All right, Grace, listen up. We just got back from Arizona, and this girl right here got it done while having fun on her very long run. Let's talk about the adventure on episode 91.
Nicely done.
I'm Eric Idiot Renner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party.
So I was in Arizona and I just got back from crewing this one that we'll talk about in a minute. This hat was here.
Merry Christmas! I couldn't wait until Christmas. I wanted to send you a hat. I worked with BOCO to create this design and I was super excited about it. And I just couldn't wait until Christmas. So I sent it to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. Works for me. I like it. It's best Christmas ever. It's not even Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Thanks, Grace. You're the best.
You're the best.
How are you? How was your past weekend?
Past weekend was great. Went for just a little run with some friends. Went hiking with Lacey. It was a pretty chill weekend, so it was good.
Good. So we just got back today, like at 4:30 from Arizona.
4:30 this morning or 4:30 in the afternoon?
This afternoon.
Okay.
We left. We went out Wednesday morning. We flew to Phoenix. Then we went to Sedona to do Sedona things for a day or two. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday was the Fat Ox 24-hour National Championship race. Is that the correct title?
If I'm allowed to talk, then yes.
Yeah.
Well, close. Well, it's the USATF.
Thank you. I know there's a long title there. So this girl right here, everybody should know her by now. If they don't, it's Miss Kaylee Frederick. Mm-hmm. She likes these types of races. Now this was a 0.98 mile sidewalk loop that you run over and over for 24 hours and try to get at least 130 miles qualifies you for the possibility to be on the team.
Technically 125.
125,
but
yeah.
This race, like 130, and it's confusing.
But the winner of this race, the winner goes to the, what's that title?
The winner gets an automatic spot on the national team to compete in the world championship if they run a minimum of 130 miles for women or 140 for men.
Yeah. So
that's a big deal. That's a really big deal.
It's a big deal. It brought out some big runners. I went out to crew. It was a first time crewing at an event like this for myself, the type of event where it's not a trail race where you have 10 or 15 miles or a couple hours in between seeing your runner. This was every basically 10 minutes. Kaylee is coming through and, you know, she didn't necessarily need something every loop, but you kind of have to be on your A game for 24 hours. Interesting.
Yeah. A lot of work for you. And so you went to crew Kaylee and you are also Kaylee's coach. So we should mention that too.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is awesome. You've been coaching Kaylee for a bit now, right?
Yeah, almost a year, right? Close to a year.
Yeah.
The Kaylee Frederick's coach has been coaching me since January.
Nice. And can we do spoiler alert? Like, Kaylee, you're second place, female, fourth place overall, right?
Correct.
Did I get that right? Yes. Yeah. Congratulations. That's huge. You wanted to qualify for the team. This is a goal. I believe you qualified at you qualified in New Jersey, right?
Haynesport, yep.
Yeah.
At Haynesport. Yeah. At one of Vanessa Klein's races, the Haynesport 100. So great job qualifying. So you use that as a qualifier. You got over there. You got second place female, fourth place overall. This has been a goal. It's been something that you've been working towards. You did it. Congratulations. You wanted to do it as a teenager, but that didn't happen, right?
Well, Haynesport, we qualified as a teenager. This one, it would have been cool to win and get the spot on the national team, but it's okay. I wanted to run 130 miles and we did better than that. So we're happy. And it puts my rank like a decent bit higher than what it was. So there's a chance I'll make the team. It's not like it's guaranteed, but there's a chance. So
yeah.
We know, and if we don't, then we'll just do better and we'll make the team and try to compete in the world championship in 2027.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great start. And you still got a couple years left of running. So
maybe like two more years.
So the interesting part about this race, and hopefully we can get into it a little bit, is I don't know if you realize it, Grace, but 24 hours is a long time.
It is. I remember my first 24-hour race. It was started and finished in a little place called The Shed. And it was starting and finishing in your backyard, sir. That was my first 24-hour.
It's not a shed. It's a garage. Gosh, you're like...
Shed. It's a shed.
All right. Anyway, there's live tracking for this, and those that are watching or might listen, maybe they watch the live tracking, but the race itself was went down pretty amazing. I mean, the majority of the runners seemed to start out a little way too fast, which everybody feels frisky. It's a flat mile course. Yeah. Everybody's staying with everybody else. And, you know, her goal the whole time was to stick with her paces and, you know, basically, you know, her mantra, whatever you want to call it, was, you know, everybody else is dead to me. Just keep, stay at the same pace. They can keep lapping her. It's 24 hours. And, you know, if you watched her move up in the pack, I think she was the 17th female, maybe 25th overall. And within 24 hours, the Miss Kaylee Frederick just kept going up and up and up.
Yeah.
Until the very end, like some magic happened that you wouldn't even understand by looking at the rankings. Last 2 hours, she was putting down 8:30 miles, passing the second place girl, so capturing the second place spot. It was really incredible. And then not only that, but afterwards, the Mr. Zach Bitter comes up to her and tells her that she probably ran the best 24-hour race of anybody that was there. So
yeah,
that says something. He was there coaching three or four of his athletes, and they all, well, not all, at least two of them, no, one finished and the other one did not finish the full 24, but very cool.
That is a very great compliment. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, run your own race. Great mantra. Everyone else is dead to me. Also acceptable mantra. So those are good ones. Oh my gosh. Tell us everything.
Yeah. Oh boy. Well, see, we started. I was like, oh boy.
Starts at 8 a.m. Saturday morning.
How many runners?
There was like maybe 35. I think. So this is a big event. This is an Aravaipa event, which was very cool to be at. I've never been to one. They have all the good stuff to make it feel like it's a big time thing and race and live, a live tent with, you know, shows going on and music. That was very neat for me.
Yeah. Jamil's company, right? Did you see Jamil?
Yeah. I saw him walking around. I tend to be the person, like, I see a famous person, I'm not going to bother you. Like, I'm nobody. I'm not going to be a fanboy, but anyway, Zach came up to her and literally said that stuff, which was very cool. So I expect her to get stolen, you know, him to steal her in the next couple of weeks. That's neither here nor there. Yeah, 30, but the USATF was like 35, I think, but there's also a 48-hour event that started the day before going on. There was a 100K going on. There's a 50-miler going on. There's another 100-miler going on the same course that wasn't a USA track and field event. So there's a lot of people there. It's just this one that was meant for qualifying
for the team
was 35 individuals.
Nice.
Yeah. So okay. Start at 8 a.m. Go ahead.
Well, the race started at 8 a.m. and I was like, oh boy, this is gonna be rough. Wasn't feeling great going in, to be honest. We weren't mentally all there, but that was okay. We were just gonna go in and we were gonna hopefully run 130 miles and just do the best we could. And it wasn't great at the beginning. I was like, everyone was lapping me so much because I was walking where I was supposed to walk. I had my spot every single lap. I walked at the same exact spot because that's how we like to do it. And people just kept running past me. I think I was on like lap 3 or something when everyone started lapping me. And I was like, oh boy, it's going to be a long day. Like I knew I was in last place so hard. After like 3 hours, I'd been lapped so many times. It wasn't even funny. But I just kept saying, they don't even exist. They don't even exist. They don't even freaking exist. Like, stop. Like, I just had to keep telling myself that and stay disciplined. And they were all chatting and they had their little pace groups and they were making friends. I was like, dang, I like making friends, but they don't even exist.
Yeah.
I just had to keep saying they don't even exist
for
like hours as I kept getting slapped.
So I want to recap that. I want to recap. This is so critical. So you had a plan and your plan was what you knew work for you, and then you stuck to the plan, and it included walking from the very get-go. And why did you include walking from the beginning?
Walking breaks, short walking breaks.
Just because I know that's how I do better in those type of races. Like in at Hainsport, that's how I did it when I ran the 100 mile over there and when I ran the 24 hour there, and I did a lot better than if I would just try and run the whole time. Because for me, like, it's easier for me to run and then walk to like slow it down versus just running a slower pace. Like, it's easier for me to stay disciplined. And I just pick the same, the first lap I just ran to look at the course. And then after that, I had my spots. And then every single lap until the end, the last 2 hours, I can do what I want and I just run. But other than that, every single lap, we walked at the same exact spots. We don't walk before that. We don't walk after that. We walk at those spots.
Ah, I love it. I love that plan because it's what works for you. And you did, I mean, you ended up with a 10-mile PR, right?
Yeah, the discipline, my gosh, though, I literally just have to keep saying they don't even exist because otherwise, I just would have ran and then I would have ended up like most of them and burned myself out. Because, I mean, I wasn't doing the math, but when I went through and did the math after, a lot of them were like running like 180 paces.
Yeah, the first six to eight hours of the race, people were literally running 180-mile paces, which is, I mean, and that's what Zach Bitter was actually right next to me with an athlete of his. And I can confirm Zach Bitter knows his stuff. Just listening, I wasn't talking to him, just listening to him talk, I was like, wow. And his athlete was actually going out too hot, and it was a female, and he kept, every loop she come in, he was telling her, look, you need to start walking for 90 seconds because your pace you're holding here is not sustainable. And she was this very happy, probably the happiest girl I've ever seen. She was having the time of her life. But the bottom line is she was running too fast because she felt so good.
Yep.
And he kept telling her, and she went, she come in, and she said, I forgot to walk that loop. And, you know, she ran a great race. I think she was about 100 miles, but she couldn't last the full 24. And one of the things Zach said when he was explaining it to her, he's like, you have to understand, everybody has to understand these 24-hour loop races, is there is no race that's even beginning to start until 16, 18, 20 hours in. He said, 20-hour mark, that's 4 hours. It's up for one. 4 hours is a long time, and that's when the race starts. So everybody that's running right now too fast, it's just, and that's what exactly what I saw. It was a slaughter fest in the middle of the night because people were completely dead. And here's that 20-year-old girl, which they got referred to her a couple of times, just chugging along at the exact same pace that she started at, you know? It was really cool.
Yeah, it takes discipline to slow down, to not make friends. Like, you would think it takes discipline to run the whole time, but no. It takes more discipline to hold back and stick to the plan. And I talk about this all the time. Feeling good and an easy effort are two very different things. You can feel good and be at a tempo effort. You can be higher than tempo and feel good, but you're not going easy. And it's really hard, I think, to separate those two and force yourself to go easy. So you did it. You were successful with your pacing strategy. Tell us about food.
Oh, you might want to talk to him about that.
So she's very, she's good at doing exactly whatever you give her. She's going to eat it. She's not going to really argue. She's very accepting. Even when things are rough, she did have a low in the middle of the night where several hours of loops weren't necessarily going great. But the bottom line is she still kept putting in what she could. The paces slowed a little bit, but not enough to even make a big, like we were just talking about. You do 4 or 5 loops at 2 minutes slower per loop. In the big scheme of 24 hours, it's nothing. It means nothing. It's not. It's going to slow your overall pace by seconds, if that, and it doesn't matter. So she came out of that. But I mean, fueling, she does. She loves the Sys gels. That was her main fuel, and she can choke down peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and she can choke down bananas.
And gummies
and a few gummies, and Tailwind was her hydration along with water. So switching out every 30 minutes, Tailwind to water, mm-hmm. and then same with the food, switching it out. So she wasn't getting, you know, basically every three laps, 30 minutes, she was getting one of those three options. And that seemed to work. This was my first time crewing for this type of event, but also crewing for Kaylee. And she gave me my rules and directions to follow, but it also, what we were doing was seeming to work like 8 to 12 hours in. And it's like, well, I'm not going to change anything. I'm not going to give you anything else. She doesn't care. So she's just going to swallow whatever I give her. Mm-hmm. And so we went with that, and it seemed to work. I mean, I was going on the idea of like, we're trickling in calories the whole time instead of a lump at one time during the hour, and then next hour, another lump of calories type of thing. At least that was my way of thinking, and it seemed to work. I don't think she suffered. She had a little stomach issue at one point for quite a while. I don't think that was anything we were doing. I think it was just fatigue late in the race.
Sure. I think that's the way to do it, especially with, you know, with this kind of course. I mean, the course is pretty even. It's not like you're putting in a bigger effort to get over a climb, for example. So
this 1 mile loop, 0.98, it had what, six, you said 6 feet or
the,
2 feet?
The website said 6 feet, but I think with the math it was actually like 2 or 4 feet of elevation.
You get some elevation if you have to step into the porta potty, you know, like
yeah, pretty much. That's it.
That's how my West Virginia race was. It was stepping into the porta potty. I got some vert there. Yeah, stepping down to the curb. But other than that, it's very different. Now, this is less than a mile loop. And Marisa had asked, how do you feel about that 1 mile loop? Were you dreading it or were you loving it? Did it go up and down throughout? Where was your head in that respect?
I feel like I never really hated it. It's a very controlled event. Yeah, if you want to know how fast you can run, even if you just want to set a fast 100-miler, that's the type of event to do it because it's so controlled. Like, you know exactly what to expect. You know exactly where everything's going to be at. Like, you know exactly what's going to happen. So I feel like for me, I kind of like it. It's kind of a mental game that I like to play. But at the same respect, I also like hard races, like trail races that are also hard. It's so different. It's hard to compare because, like, Eastern States, you could never compare that to a race like Bad Ox ever. They're just so different.
Right. And Badwater. I mean, Badwater is very different.
Yeah, it's the most controlled environment you're going to ever get for a race, other than maybe a 400-meter track.
And typically, you don't run with music or podcasts or anything like that, right?
I don't listen to anything. For this race, you actually can't. If you're in, the top three for, the USATF, you're not allowed to listen to music. Granted, okay. I don't listen to music anyway, and I don't even think I was top three until the end, so I guess I could have listened to music, but I don't normally do that anyway, so.
I didn't think so. I don't think I've ever seen you with headphones before, so. Okay.
I just like to suffer.
It's definitely a different, for me at least, it's definitely a different type of hard looking at what these people do. Mm-hmm. I think people like her are just, she's built for it. Like that, mm-hmm. you don't have to think, you just go. She's definitely built for it. And she did, I mean, she ran 100 miles in, what was your time? 25. I mean, and that's a PR for 100 miles. And there's a bit though about these 24-hour races, like that is big girl time for 100 miles.
Yeah. 49-minute 100-mile PR. We ran in the 17s. That's like...
How did that feel?
Like,
you should have seen her face when she came in knowing that her watch just said that at the start finish coming through.
Like, I bet we could run sub 17 if we were just doing 100 mile or that's so
yeah,
that's exciting.
It was crazy and we were it was so good for real.
And that's like your legs did that. Your legs did that, dude.
Yeah, we just ran a circle.
And the crazy thing is, you know, she did come into this race kind of as a big unknown. She suffered some ligament, some pain, foot pain after Hainsport. She struggled through Hainsport and had some ligament issues, tendon issues, I should say, pain in her shin/foot. Mm-hmm. Thought it went away, thought she recovered enough, tested it out here and there, and it really was just never went away. We walked a couple fun hikes in Sedona before the race and it was still there. Just not a very good confidence booster. Her mileage suffered between Hainsport and this race, which is, it was only 5 weeks in between. So it wasn't, in my opinion, it wasn't the worst in the world, but we're talking several weeks of zero running miles because why irritate the monster when you have a big thing coming up? But anyway, so she went into it and we went into it just saying, well, this is it. We're signed up. Let's see what she goes. And it's the end of the year. She was told she's not going to hurt it. She might make it a little more sore, but nothing's going to tear, break, or rupture.
Okay.
And that was the plan. So 4 hours in, she looks at me. She kind of comes in a little emotional and she says, I can't run in pain for 20 hours. And we weren't talking about the foot at that point. I thought, oh crap. No. That was time for the first shot of ibuprofen that we already had planned for the issue. She took it, and literally by the time I saw her at the end of the next loop, it was like, we're good to go. And luckily, you know, it's a little red today, but it didn't affect her race, which was amazing.
Yeah, and I think there's a couple lessons in there, and I want to hear about this more from you, Kaylee. But one is better to go under-trained than over-trained. I mean, this is one that tons of runners go through this, and it's just not worth it to keep pushing those miles. You do a very good job of recovery, taking care of yourself, and also not push it. You know what your limits are, and you do a pretty good job of not pushing yourself too hard. So what was going on in your head in between Haynesport and Fat Ox that you said, I'm going to back off? And what did you do to take care of yourself?
Not much. Well, after Haynesport, it was like at Haynesport, I knew something was screwed up. Like during Haynesport, like I knew nothing was like broken, although they thought there was possible like stress fractures and stuff, but I was like, y'all are crazy. There's no fractures. It's something's not right though. Cause I don't know. I feel like I kind of know my body when it's sore versus there's something actually wrong. And I was like, yeah, something's not normal. Cause yeah, we don't like to complain about pain. Cause unless there's actually something wrong, I knew something wasn't right. So it took a little bit, but eventually we realized it was just tendonitis. In my anterior tibialis tendon. So I went like, it was like a week and a half without running. And that was so difficult. It was very difficult mentally to not run because running is the greatest thing and it makes life so much better. But we did it. We did what we had to do. And then I started run a little bit because it started to get a little better. I started PT and I went like almost 3 weeks. I ran like almost every day for 3 weeks and life felt really good. And then one day it didn't feel really good. And I was like, uh-oh, we're racing in, what was it?
2 weeks.
Like 2 weeks. Mm. So we were like, what do we do now? Like, I guess we just don't run. So then I pretty much took off like a week and a half before the race. And I did, like, I talked to my physical therapist and stuff. And like, we tried different tape jobs. So I think I ran like 3 miles total before the race. And it was very difficult to mentally be like, I'm about to race and I literally can't walk without pain. So that was, it was okay though. We did it. It was worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. And at any point you could have thrown in the towel if you needed to, but you managed it and knew that you didn't need to and you're on the side and you're good.
Yeah, we're good. Life's okay.
Yeah, it really, it was a non-issue during the race, which was a huge relief for both, obviously her more than myself, but it doesn't, nobody likes going into a race with something hanging over their head, and that's definitely what it was.
Yeah, I was definitely like, I mean, I normally don't like to take this much ibuprofen, especially not like early into a race, but we had it planned for every 4 hours. So the first one was planned for 4 hours, but like, so the first like couple laps, I was okay, but then pretty quickly it started to like bother me, and I was just grinding at this point. I was like, everyone's passing me, it's okay, they don't even exist, and like that was fine. But then I was just thinking, and I literally said to him at like the 4 hour mark, I was like, I don't want to do this for 20 hours. Like, I don't want to be in pain for 20 hours because it was not what it needed to be. Because I was like, we ran in pain for 10 hours at Haynesport and this is going to be so much worse. But the ibuprofen, I don't know what it did, but it helped as we went. Like during the day, the muscle was kind of like cramping up, but it was tolerable. And then like after that, it was okay. So it's all right. It's actually way better now than I was expecting. It's not normal, but it's a lot better than I was expecting. So I can't really complain considering.
I can recover. And you did all right.
Yeah. She's not fractured or ruptured or anything, so we're good.
Yeah. All right, definitely want to hear, you might have answered this already, but I definitely want to hear, what was your highest high during the race?
That last 2 hours.
Oh yeah, the last 2 hours for sure.
So basically, you know, let's just say within 6 hours left, most of the people either had, not most, but the ones that had stopped or were going to stop, and everybody else still running, there was enough time spread out that everybody was kind of distance-wise set in their placements, you know, even the male men and the female. The first place was ahead by 10 miles. Then the second place female was ahead of Kaylee by, let's just say, 3 miles, which is a lot to make up when you're doing these loops. But with the live tracking, you can kind of see, okay, second place just crossed the mat at this time, and Kaylee crossed at this time, and she's 2 miles behind her. And then the next lap, you can see, oh, that's interesting. Kaylee just took 20 seconds off of those two times. You know, she's still two laps behind, but look at what's happening here. So I kind of saw that trend, honestly. And I think, before I even said anything, I think she got to within one lap of second place with about 2 hours remaining. Let's just call it 2 hours remaining. And these pit stops, the reason I was there is Kaylee doesn't stop running at these loops. At that race, she had a total downtime of 20 minutes for the 24-hour race. And that most of that was, you know, using the porta potty, I would say. Hand stuff off, you keep going. But anyway, I had enough time to jog with her for 10 yards to say, hey, here's the deal. She's a loop ahead. This is how much time's left. I don't know what you got in that tank, but you do have enough time and an opportunity at second place to catch this girl. And I think it kind of lit a fire in her a little bit. But then, you know, next loop, she realized that she just got closer herself or something. And then after that, it was like, whoa, what is Kaylee? Like, who is this girl? This other girl was a good runner. She was running very consistent, but she turned it on. Within the next lap, she closed within a half mile. The following lap, she caught her. And we all know, if you catch somebody at that point, you better keep going confidently to really put the dagger in, or else things could happen. And that's what she did. And for the next 2 hours, she ran. There was a slight chance she could catch. So the first place female, who ran strong all day, everybody's goal was to get to that 130 mile mark. So the first place female did that, and then let off the gas, like literally started walking loops, whether she was dead or she did it just because she was happy she got to the 130 mark and thought she was safe. But a couple hours go by, and oh, here comes this 20-year-old girl getting within 8 miles, and then 6 miles. And then again, there was an hour and a half left, or whatever it was, an hour left. And I said, Kaylee, you're 4 miles behind that girl, and she's walking, literally walking. I said, if you keep running like this, you get everything you have, there is a chance you could catch her. And so, I mean, she was putting down faster paces than she does on a normal 5 mile morning run. I don't even know how she's doing it, but it turns out, you know, that girl just, she scared the girl. The girl kept having to keep walking at a fast pace so that every 20 minutes she would finish a mile, and she just barely stayed ahead enough to that Kaylee couldn't catch her by the end. But either way, it was a gutsy move. It's all the race, the live feed was talking about for like 2 hours at the end of the race, and it was neat.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, you may as well at the end, it just if you got gas in the tank, use it, you know. Now you put out an 8:30 mile, I think, pretty late into the race. When did that happen?
That was like at the end. So I don't know when he told me second place was in striking distance. I feel like it was kind of earlier, like whenever I was kind of in a low and he was trying to motivate me or whatever. But I was like, there's no way. I was like trying to look at the splits on there, and I was like, she was still like 3 laps ahead of me. I was not having it, and I didn't think it was going to happen. So I was like, it's okay. We're just going to think about my own little goals. Third place is cool. But then I started to look at it, and I was like, well, who cares about our own little goals? We could maybe move up a spot. And then I just kind of, like, I saw her, and I was like, she's the girl in red. And then she was right in front of me. And then I, like, granted, she was still, like, 2 miles ahead of me, which I knew, but I came up on her. And then she started to run faster because I made her nervous. And I was, like, nervous. And so I let her run ahead a little. And then I was like, I'm going to pass her on this next lap. Granted, she's still 2 miles ahead of me, but I got in front of her. And then I was like, now we just got to maintain this pace. And I feel like that time it took me a little bit to like lap her again. Again, I was like, I don't know if I can make up a whole mile, but we did. And then I knew when I was about to pass her, like I was coming through the aid station. And then I like saw over there, I was like the girl in red is right there. Like she's over there. And then I passed her, and then life just kind of went crazy because I was like, all right, so now I'm in front of her, and she knows that I'm in second place, and she knows that she's in third place. But I was like, we can't just let that sit there. Like, we can't just, like, let her pace off of me now. I was like, we need to run. Like, we need to put a gap in so we can make sure she knows that I mean business and I'm literally fresh. We were just playing games the best we could. But I think it's so funny. I was wearing my Knox gear.
Her light.
My, like, light. And I turned it off. And I said to him when I came through, I was like, I turned off my light so she can't see where I'm at. And apparently, I guess the announcer heard me and he said that on the live stream. And I was like,
he said it pretty much on the live stream, not realizing it.
Yeah, I didn't even realize. But I was like, at that point, I was like, it's whatever. And then we just kept going. And I actually ended up lapping her again. So I ended up over a mile ahead of her, which is crazy. She's a great runner. Like, nothing like that. I didn't actually ever get to really talk to her. I'm sure she's a nice person because most runners are. But
it's nothing but love and trail running. But it is super fun to still see a race happen. You know,
We weren't in race mode like all day. We were just kind of like, we were just running what I was supposed to run. We were just running the splits that I was supposed to run. Mm-hmm. But in the end, we turned on race mode when we had to.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it when in trail running we have a race that happens. And this wasn't really trail, you know, but in ultra running when we have a race that goes down, I think that's exciting. I think you can still do that with love. So that's very cool. So that was an incredible story for your highest high. What was your lowest low? Was it? You know, when you were like, this is not going to work out right before the ibuprofen?
I feel like, well, right before the ibuprofen, that kind of sucked. And I was like, well, this sucks. I was just thinking, I was like, okay, do I just quit now? Like, I didn't want to quit, but I was like, what are we going to do? Like, suffer for 20 hours? That sounds miserable. At that point, it was like, do I even run 100 miles? Like, I was only 4 hours in. Like, it was not great. But during the night, I don't even know what time. It was like 4 or 6 hours. I don't even know. My splits weren't great. I just felt really sick. My feet hurt as expected. And it was not great. My walking was getting slower, which I didn't need. So eventually I tried to cut. I started shortening my walk breaks so that I was running more, and I was just trying to do what I needed to do to keep moving. But my splits, I just kept looking at every split, and I was just like, crap, that's too slow. And then I put up a slowdown, and I was like, that's too slow. And I was like, I knew we were still on pace because I had built a little bit of a buffer, and my A plan goal I had set up for like 132 miles, so that still gave me a 2 mile buffer to 130. Yeah. And I was like, we could still do 130 if we do 12 minute miles. And I was like, we can still do 130 if we do 15 minute miles at a certain point. But I was like, we don't want to do that. Why the heck would we work hard all freaking day to run 130 miles when we could have and we should have run what we planned on doing? So yeah. It was a little rough during whatever hours that was.
Yeah, middle of the night, midnight to 4 a.m., which is about when you'd expect it. It was, she never talks anything about, like, you know, my race is over or anything. It's just frustration as she comes in from the loop. You know, and all I could do is try to keep her moving. Again, we talked earlier about, like, okay, she had a couple hours, or not even a couple hours, probably two hours of laps that were a little slower pace than her goal pace, but she was under that goal pace all day. So really it doesn't matter. As long as we can come out of this low, that was the focus, was like, all right, let's get her out of this and back to being Kaylee. We'd be totally fine. Luckily that did happen. I swear, Grace, it was probably one of the coolest performances I've ever seen, like watching a race. And I'm not a fan of these 24 hours. Like, I don't know if I ever want to do one. There's so much to it. There's so much more to it than just running around lap and the first person to finish wins, you know?
It's a lot of strategy. So tell us a little bit about your day, Eric. What was your highest high?
Oh, by far watching her run the last 2 hours, probably the last hour. Just incredible. And everybody that was there, I got to say, like everybody that was there was watching what she was doing and noticed what she was doing. So that was the coolest part. It was interesting for me because I told you at the beginning of the show, I'm used to doing these trail races, crewing people and doing aid stations, mostly crewing, to where you help your runner and then you get to go hang out and go, as Ben Mazur says, crewing ain't easy. He goes, has a beer at a restaurant or a bar. And then 2 hours later, you go back and help your runner at the next aid station, where this is literally, right, she was putting up 10-minute loops. I didn't feel okay giving her food and saying, see you in a half hour even. I wanted to be there for 10 minutes at a time, every lap. So it's on your A game for 24 hours straight.
Yeah.
It's hard.
It's a lot of work and you're standing there the whole time. I haven't done anything in that format, but I've done like backyard, like stuff where they're coming in every, you know, 45 minutes. And it's you realize like 8 hours in, you're like, I have not sat down in 8 hours. Yeah, I've just been standing. And you realize like, oh, I should probably eat something. I should probably drink something, but you don't even want to go to the bathroom when you're waiting for your runner.
Yeah, like I said, you're waiting there for, it's just like, all right, I got 10 minutes. And then you see your clock in 8 minutes. And then I see you're coming around the bend. It's like, all right, it's go time. And then you have 10 seconds and she's gone. And then it's, okay, I got 10 minutes. It's a long day, but it was very fun. I'm very glad she gave me the opportunity. She asked me to go out with her to do it. And I was thrilled with the opportunity. And it was very cool. And I mean, who doesn't want to go to Arizona? Come on.
You know? It looked amazing. The photos were amazing. I love that you two kind of shared so much about before, during, and after. It was great to follow along. You know, Kaylee, I was following your mom's post too, so it was easy to follow along to all the cool stuff that was happening. Like, what an amazing adventure! But this for sure is not the end. I mean, this is a really cool part of the adventure that you can simmer on for a long time, but I'm sure you have other cool stuff on the horizon. What else you have planned?
Oh boy. Well, nothing really for the rest of this year because I mean, I'm sure there were some December races that I was looking at just for funsies, because sometimes I like to run for funsies. But I needed to see how much I actually destroyed myself. So I really probably won't really race anymore until January 25th. I got so
January 25th at the shed.
Yeah. And then I have frozen snot. But I mean, those are just kind of for funsies, I feel like. But then actually racing next, I don't know, next year, probably Badwater Cape Fear again. Nice. Badwater Salton Sea, Badwater 135. We have to run Laurel Highlands, obviously.
Yeah. Baker.
I have to.
You need your third Baker, or did you do it?
No, that'll be my third Baker. I forgot Baker existed. I have to do my third one there. One will probably just be for funsies again.
Yeah.
And then if I make the national team, we compete in October in Paris.
So yeah, and her saying that, so this was kind of a confidence booster. So it's that we said you have to win the race to in order to automatically qualify, but apparently some of these people that build the team and look at the team also look at performances. And this came out of Zach Bitter's mouth, and I kind of respect what he says. He came up to her right after and said about how amazing performance was, and he said he would be very surprised if she wasn't considered just from her performance alone, because they do watch that. This is stuff, footage that people watch and hear about, that she might be considered for the team, which is crazy exciting. So there is a better chance that, oh, I didn't win, so I'm not going. That's not over yet. So that's, at least for me,
right. Yeah, that's still definitely a possibility, you know.
Yeah,
we'll deal with that when it comes. But Still definitely a real possibility, even if not for this year, then for future years, because it is about your, you know, your whole portfolio of work.
Yeah.
Yeah. They don't announce the team until like May. So, I mean, there's some other, like, there's a few other qualifiers I could do. I think most of them left are like track races, which, yeah. I know I could do better. I'm sure there's things I could fix. Like whenever I hit the low in the middle of the night, we could have done better, and we should have done better, and we shouldn't have stayed there for that long, and we should have just sucked it up, and we should have ran faster earlier, but we're happy with how we did. We did a lot better than we thought we were going to. I didn't even really think that our 132-mile goal was actually possible, and then we ran 10 miles more than we did at Haysport, so we're happy.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's a huge, huge confidence booster. And sometimes you just got to kick back and do some fun races like Frozen Snot, you know? It's all about the fun. You got to keep enjoying it. So yeah. Kick back and relax a bit till May.
Well, maybe. We have some things to do before then, but yeah, maybe.
At least for December.
Yeah, we can start running trails again. Now that we're done with this loop stuff for a while, we can start running trails again.
Yeah.
That's what we're happy about.
So, all right, enough of that stuff. Let's talk about some other things that happened this weekend.
Yeah, a couple other topics that we got to talk about. And Kaylee, I'll be interested to hear if you were following along with any of this. There was a big, big weekend, right? So we also, JFK 50 miler was this weekend.
Yeah, two records broken, I hear.
Uh-huh. Couple records broken. Our buddy Andrew Simpson took 18 minutes off of his personal best. So previously he had placed 10th. He did place 11th, but it was also a faster group this year. So placing 11th was a huge, huge, big win for him. And his training buddy Ben Lynn placed 10th.
Nice. I got athlete Brandon Fogarty. It was his first time running. Nice. His goal was about 7 hours, and he ran it in 6:50. Had a blast. He's definitely going back. He thinks he knows he can improve. So that's awesome that he did that. Shout out to Stephen Larrick. He ran it. And Reagan McCoy also ran.
Yep. James Weaver.
James Weaver. Who else we got? I was trying to think of names right before the show. Anybody else?
That's everybody I remember.
The record times, they're not just fast. They're quite unbelievable. I mean, yeah. A 5:08 for the male in a 50-mile race that's not all flat rail trail.
Right, right. It's on the technical, there's a whole section on the technical Appalachian Trail.
Yeah. Insane.
Yeah, and this is just such a competitive race, too. It's one that you got people like Andrew Simpson. He doesn't race very often. I mean, he'll pick one or two races a year, and that's what he trains for, and he goes out and he kills it. And you have super fast people, like, in the top 50. You know, it runs much more similar to a road marathon in terms of competitiveness than a traditional ultra.
I mean, like I said, I see the time, like, oh, 5:08 for a 50K. That's pretty awesome. Wait a minute. No, that's a 50 miler.
Yes.
It is nuts. And it's not, I can't even comprehend these speeds.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty insane. So big congratulations to everybody who finished. And it's a huge historic race. So very cool. Yeah. Andrew finished in 6:48. Which is still just crazy, crazy fast. Oh my gosh. Yeah. What else happened this weekend?
Roxylvania Trail Series. Party for all the people that did this different series in the events or different events this year and the different distances. That happened down at New Trail Brewing in Williamsport. Yeah. I'm sure that was quite a party. I know they had a record number of participants who received the jackets and things like that. Yeah. So congrats to all them. I think, you know, Craig Fleming and the Trail Dogs do an amazing job putting races together up here and organizing that, all the stuff with Falcon Race Timing, and deserve huge kudos for the what they give us trail runners up here in North Central PA, all over Pennsylvania, to chase after and complete and get something for it at the end of the year. So congrats to everybody.
Yeah, huge deal. They did their big celebration at the end of the year, which I still don't have an invite to, but that's super cool. No big deal. We did interview Craig Fleming last year. We'll have to repost the interview that we did with him when he explains the entire trail series and how it works. But huge congrats to all those who got a jacket. Angie, you look amazing in your jacket, and I want it. And I have to talk about something that's happening right now, and that's Bob Stewart.
Oh, yeah. Well, how's he doing on the trail?
Okay, so I reached out to Jake Landon, because we all know Jake knows every inch of the Mason-Dixon Trail. Bob, and I asked Jake, I said, Jake, here's his tracker, here's where he's at. Can you tell me some stats? And so Bob Stewart right now, friend of the show, is out attempting a fastest known time of the Mason-Dixon Trail. It's 200-mile trail. And he is going after Eddie Pantoa's FKT, which Eddie never submitted his officially, but people kept track of it for him. And that is what Bob is going after right now. He's out on the trail right now. He's about 40 miles from the finish. And according to Jake, he said he needs to do right around 2.5, 2.7 miles per hour in order to beat Eddie. So it is doable. He started Saturday morning. He's got to do it. I think he's got like 70 hours. He's going unsupported. So he's trying to beat Eddie's. Eddie has a self-supported time and an unsupported time. He's trying to beat Eddie's unsupported time. So it is within his reach. And Bob, I hope you're staying warm out there.
Yeah. I mean, he's a very seasoned FKT attempter. Mm-hmm. I think he probably sounds like he's on pace to do it currently, yeah. I would say, going by what your numbers are, which doesn't surprise me. He's out to slaughter every long trail FKT in Pennsylvania and beyond, probably. Mm-hmm. He's got it dialed in. He's good at it. I sure hope and I expect him to want to be on the show when he completes this. I want to hear about the adventure and what he got himself into and what he didn't get himself into and all the ins and outs. So hopefully that will happen. Well, maybe even next week if we can talk. Yeah. Into it. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely within his reach. Most of the miles he has left are road miles, and it's fairly flat. He's got some hills, but it's road hills. It's nothing like the stuff earlier on. So he's on the Delaware portion and where it kicks back up to Pennsylvania. So it's definitely within his reach. It probably depends right now whether or not he's going to stop to sleep. So
we get to hear some of those stories again. He's usually pretty good with the old lack of sleep hallucination stuff.
He usually does pretty well with it. And I will have to post, we'll have to post a link to, he did kind of a little information series with the Keystone Trails Association that was very good. I tuned into it and he was talking about FKTs and how to attempt them. So it was very informative.
Yeah. If you do FKTs, if you've ever done one, if you have a dream or desire to do one, he would be your first point of contact to reach out to because he's very friendly, very informative, very good at them. So,
yep.
Bob Stewart, highly recommend you get in contact with him if that's your thing.
Yep. I've learned a lot from Bob. I'm, I keep tuning in as many times and trying to get as many nuggets of wisdom as I can from that guy because he really knows his stuff. So I'm really excited to see how Bob does. That was probably the only other big thing. Hex Hollow Half was this weekend down by us. Nice little either a 6.66 or a 13.13 trail run. So that was fun. A lot of people went out for that. And I think that was it for the weekend.
Well, alrighty then, since we're almost 55 minutes in, Grace, what the heck are you planning on doing this coming weekend?
Oh my gosh. Well, friends and I, we always do what we call the wild and hot turkey trot. We'll do that Thursday. And then I kind of have some loose plans here and there for the weekend, but I don't have anything really solid. I'm pretty excited to just see what comes over the long weekend. How about you? What you got going on this week?
I keep forgetting this is a holiday week and we got the big turkey day. I don't know where, it's just busy, I guess. So we are doing the turkey day, and then Friday morning, Black Friday morning, I guess apparently we're heading up to Boston to watch Lauren run her regional cross country meet in hopes that she qualifies for the national meet in San Diego 2 weeks later. So we shall see.
Yeah. Awesome. All the good luck over to Lauren.
Yeah. Thanks. It'll be a good time. Good experience for her regardless. She's excited. She's feeling good. And she knows there's a slight opportunity there if she has the perfect day. So weather's looking amazing. Cool.
Good.
You know, low 40s for running is pretty amazing. And
yeah,
it'll be exciting.
Yeah. Kaylee, what are you doing this weekend?
Oh boy. Well, my whole life was planned around Arizona. So now that that's done, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. This weekend, I have some organic chemistry to get done after we do all the Turkey Day stuff.
Super fun.
Yeah, Brett's coming home, so I'll hang out with Brett. But yeah, my whole life was around Arizona and running Fat Ox and going to Arizona. So now we've got real life to get back to.
Real life is good. Work.
Yeah, we don't need to do that. Yeah, I vote go back to Arizona.
Real life is zero stars. No, yeah, wouldn't recommend.
Thanks. 10 out of 10 Arizona all the way.
Yeah.
Out there. I love the desert.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, that's about it. You want to talk about these bad boys, or are we just going to surprise people with them, or what's
going on? Yeah, if you want a hat, reach out to me. If you need some smittens, reach out to me. We're going to throw them up for sale for the holidays.
Yep. Nice. Get you some.
Yeah. Kaylee, congratulations. You're awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It was crazy. One heck of a 24 hours, I guess. It was all right. It was worth it. Life is good. Yeah. We're happy.
Yeah, life is good. Life, we're having a good time.
Life is great. Great talk, for real.
Good talk. Good game. Good game. Yeah.
Good day.
All right. Well, we'll figure out what we're doing next week and come at you on Monday at 7:30 as usual. Right?
That's right. Find us live every Monday at 7:30 p.m. on YouTube and on Facebook, and find us on all of the things, and leave us a review and some stars, and we'll think you're awesome. And we got cool swag. We got stickers and magnets and hats and smittens, and we're smitten with you. You're amazing.
Happy Turkey Day to everybody. We'll see you after the big feast. You should be in the middle of your running streaks by then, from Thanksgiving to New Year's. Look for that coming on the Run for Life group, because that's been a running, literally a running thing for maybe 10 years now. I don't know. It's how the group, my wife is right, Becky's right, it's how the Run for Life group on Facebook got started, was the streak. So it's kind of neat. 1 mile, 5k or 10k a day, and streaking from Thanksgiving Day through New Year's Day is the plan. So look for that on the Facebook group and tell your friends about it, because all the cool kids are doing it, so you have to.
That's right, because you're all cool kids.
I got to do that in the next 2 days. So I will try to get on that as fast as possible. But thanks for tuning in, and we will see you Monday to see how your streak's going.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody. You're amazing. Bye.